Okay, the Blanch, case number 25849, and is Mr. ZK on Zoom?
Good morning, Your Honor, this is Paul Broderick.
Hold on one second, Mr. ZK. Thank you. Mr. Gotas.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Give us one second. So, Mr. Gotas, if at any time you can't hear us, just let me know. Just wave, and we'll figure that out. Please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, this is Paul Grotus on behalf of the petitioner. This case presents three discrete legal errors. It is not a request to reweigh the decision made by the immigration judge or the decision made by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Our first claim is that the board mischaracterized the record by treating a dismissed criminal charge as though the criminal justice system affirmatively chose not to pursue a conviction. Language that inverts the presumption of innocence, and under this circuit's decision in Mendez v. Holder 566F3D316, is precisely the kind of mischaracterization of the record that constitutes reviewable legal error. This court has heard from petitioners and respondents on an incalculable number of matters. I would speculate that it has never heard this language to describe a dismissed conviction. A decision about whether to pursue or not pursue a criminal charge is based on a number of
prosecution. Not a, you said a dismissed conviction.
Oh, sorry, Your Honor, dismissed prosecution.
Yeah.
Second, the board considered an arrest that fell outside the 10-year statutory window for good moral character.
That's the issue I'm most interested in, because that's the one that seems to me could be an error. And if there was an error, of course, we send it back for them to reconsider. Now, it wasn't 10 years before the IJ because of the timing. The question is, was it more than 10 years before the BIA, March 15, or was it the same, or was it 10 years? That's what I'm not clear on the record was. Did the BIA consider something which was beyond the time that it could have, or was it still within the time that it could have? You get my point?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Because if it considered something it shouldn't, then under an opinion I wrote a long time ago that's been followed, of course it's its discretion, but it's its discretion based on the correct law, and we have to send it back for them to consider it in light of a correct law.
Of course, Your Honor. So, matter of Ortega Cabrera holds the good moral character period runs continuously up to and including the date an application is resolved on appeal. The board decided this appeal on March 18th, 2025. The 10-year window, therefore, runs from March 18th, 2015 forward. The arrest at issue occurred on March 8, 2015, one day before the window opens under the board's own counting method. This arrest should have been excluded from the good moral character determination, and the board's decision doesn't acknowledge the cutoff at all. It also specifically ties into the first argument that we made. The board is seriously punishing my client for an arrest which resulted in a dismissed charge. And I want to point out to the court, in 2013, the New York Attorney General report analyzed 150,000 arrests stemming from the 2.4 million stop and frisk events between 2009 and 2012. The Attorney General found that close to half of those arrests did not result in a conviction. Specifically, 24.7 of those arrests were dismissed before arraignment or resulted in a non-criminal charge, while the remainder failed due to lack of prosecution or dismissals post-arraignment. I shudder to think how the BIA would characterize a stop and frisk, arrest and dismissal, specifically acknowledging that this is a part of New York State history. So moving on to the third factor, the BIA completely failed to address hardship as a favorable discretionary factor under matter of CBT, which is confusing and surprising because that's the main analysis once the court moves on from good moral character and moves on from eligibility. So the BIA, as a matter of procedural and constitutional due process, must weigh and evaluate the hardship. It's putting too difficult of a burden on this court to determine whether the immigration judge appropriately evaluated hardship as a favorable discretionary factor. The BIA must weigh in on this issue. Any decision without this analysis is naked.
Good. Now, if we were to send it back on the 10-year issue, then you would be free to argue before the BIA all of these matters having to do with what would be or would not be moral character. And then the BIA would make its decision in its discretion. But that would then be free for you to make before them, because what we're saying, if we agree with you on the 10-year issue, is that their decision was erroneous, and therefore, with that correct, they should re-examine the whole thing. Am I right?
Exactly, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we believe that a remand is inappropriate for a decision which accurately reflects the BIA precedent, that the decision issued ignores major BIA case laws about how these cases should be analyzed.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Nothing further, Your Honor. Thank you.
Well, you reserve some time for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Blosser from the government.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court.
Speak right into the microphone and loudly, please. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Kristen Blosser, and I'm here on behalf of the respondent. Cancellation of removal is a matter of grace, reserved only for a limited number of the
There's no question about that. And there's no question that the decision is one of grace by the BIA. But our cases say that if a BIA considered something that was erroneous, then we don't decide the issue of grace. We send it back to the BIA to make its decision of grace on the basis of the correct issues. And there is this question of whether the BIA considered a conviction or something that happened more than 10 years before. The IJ was okay because it wasn't 10 years, but the law says it's the BIA. So the question is, did they consider something March 15th, 10 years before, when their decision came down March 18th? That's the issue. Simple.
Well, Your Honor, I would push back on that characterization slightly, in that there is the good moral character issue, as Your Honor has pointed out, but then there is also the separate overall discretionary denial, which is dispositive.
After they decide correctly the question of good moral character. And if they decided not good moral character, I think we have to send it back for them to decide that.
Well, Your Honor, the agency didn't need to even address good moral character because it also made this overall discretionary denial. So in that sense, even if petitioner had demonstrated eligibility by demonstrating good moral character, or even if the agency had erred, and we maintain that it did not, regardless, the agency denied as this overall pure discretionary denial. That is a separate and independent basis for denying.
You are saying that good moral character is out of this case, that we don't need to look at it, consider it at all, because the agency decided that there wasn't adequate hardship.
Yes, the court does not even need to look at good moral character because of that overall discretionary denial.
Now, you say overall discretionary. Overall is something which is overall, that takes everything into account and then decides. And if there's an error in the overall, then we send it back for them to do the overall over again. Overall is separate from saying we decide A, we decide B. B is enough, and on the ground of B, we deny. And if there's no error on B, then we don't send it back. But you keep saying overall. And that's what I thought the BIA did.
Well, Your Honor, with respect to that, Your Honor is concerned about the conviction happening outside of that 10-year period in particular. With respect to the overall discretionary determination, that step two discretionary determination, it does not matter what time the arrest occurred.
It doesn't matter because they could have reached the same decision without it. There's no doubt about it. But it is not for us, because in agency matters, unlike district courts, it is not our job to say this result would have happened. If there's an error, we must send it back out of deference to the agency to let it make its decision.
I think that is true when the agency has not made that second step discretionary denial. In that case, it is not the place of this court to say what the agency would have done if it were exercising its discretion.
But if they made that based on an error, we have held, and that we have held again and again and again, that we send it back and say, do it right.
Yes, if there is a legal error in the pure discretionary denial of cancellation of removal, then the court may look to the legal error. But in this case...
But do you concede... Let's just get just to this point. Do you concede that they considered something that was outside their time? Because I wasn't clear on that, and I was pressing opposing counsel on it. So I want to know whether they did concede something that was outside of time.
Purely for purposes of the good moral character determination, it's the government's position that it did not consider an arrest outside of that time period. This is exactly 10 years, but...
10 years on the day that they heard, but the decision came out 3 days later. And is that the appropriate date?
Well, it was...
Opposing counsel says that the rule is not the 15th, but the 18th.
I believe it was the 15th for both, Your Honor, but I could, the 18th for both, Your Honor, but I could be mistaken. But again, regardless, what that arrest would still be permissible to consider for that
ultimate... You're saying that it was March 18th and March 18th for the arrest.
That's correct. I would want to double check, but that is my understanding.
Well, it says in, your friend's brief, it refers to the March 18, 2015 arrest.
Yes. So it's our position that March 18th and March 18th, that is exactly 10 years. But again, for purpose of the discretionary denial.
But I'm reading his brief. I don't.
Sure.
Now, we have all your other arguments, but I'm focusing on this particular point. I want to know if it was beyond 10 years under our rules or was not. And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Understood, Your Honor.
And frankly, if I can't figure out, I'm going to want more briefing on it. But I want to know that quite specifically.
Let me just follow up on Judge Calabresi's question and make sure that I understand your answer. I think you would agree, but perhaps not, that let's say it was wildly beyond 10 years, so that the BIA considering the arrests in connection with its assessment of the IJ's decision and balancing of the factors and so on, that was 20 years ago. That's a significant error. Wouldn't it be prudent for us, and wouldn't it also be consistent with what we've said in other cases, to remand, just to make sure that if the BIA were not operating under this particular error, it would have arrived at the same decision? Do you understand that question?
I do, Your Honor. And my answer would be no, because for purposes of the pure step two discretionary denial, the agency is permitted to consider convictions even that were 20 years old. That for discretion, there is no time limitation.
So what work does this rule that we've got, or this principle that we've got, that it is an error to look beyond the 10-year period? What work does it do?
That is purely in the good moral character determination. That's an eligibility requirement.
Now, are you saying that they can consider something that is more than 10 years to determine whether it was hardship? I would have thought that hardship had nothing to do with that at all.
I'm not addressing hardship at all, Your Honor. I'm addressing the second purely discretionary denial of cancellation of removal, that step two determination, where there is not a time limitation on the convictions
but
the agency
isn't
may
that
consider.
That decision affected by whether there was good moral character? I mean, isn't that one of the essences of that decision?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. That is the analysis
now,
where the agency...
Let's take something else. Let's suppose that the BIA thought that this man had been convicted for something, and instead it erroneously found facts, and the BIA, and that actually this man had done something wonderful. Okay? And the BIA was simply wrong on that. Are you saying that because they looked at the whole thing in some other way, they then could say it was okay?
If there was serious mischaracterization of the facts, this court has said that that is a legal error that can be reviewed.
And it is serious mischaracterization of the facts if they considered a criminal conviction that was outside of a range.
Well, Your Honor, again, I would disagree. For purposes of the good moral character determination, which is an eligibility requirement, there is that 10-year period. And so let's say the agency considered a conviction, let's say a conviction that was 20 years old, that would be an error. But we are talking about the step to purely discretionary denial, where there are not time limitations on when convictions or arrests can be considered. And so for that reason, the government is asking the...
Look, the case that I wrote now 100 years ago involved whether the BIA could, in its sole discretion, reopen something that was closed. And the BIA had failed to reopen. But there was an error in what they had of the same sort. And we sent it back and said, correct the error, and it's still entirely up to you to decide whether to reopen or not. Reopen is your business. But where there was an error, we send it back so you can make your decision as you want.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that is where we differ in regards to whether there was an error or not. If there was a legal error, then the court can consider whether there was a legal error. But there was no legal error here because the agency was permitted for purposes of pure discretion to consider an arrest that occurred.
I think there are two ships passing in the night. You are, there are two things that a petitioner's got to prove, eligibility and then a challenge to the discretionary, to the extent that that's even subject to challenge. And you're focused on the second part, which is the discretionary.
That's correct.
Determination. And I think the argument that you're making is that the good moral character determination has to do with eligibility. And you're not even grappling with that in one sense. You're asking us to focus on the second independent basis to deny the petition.
Yes, Your Honor. That's correct.
And so it could be, it could have been a legal error with respect to looking at that arrest, whether it's beyond 10 years or not. It might not be, but don't worry about that. There is total discretion at the second step.
That's correct, Your Honor. And so,
isn't exactly the same thing with respect to total discretion as to whether to reopen, whether reconsider, which is what our previous case. That is, your argument could have been made just as much, and indeed was, way back then. And we said, yeah, they have total discretion, but where there was an error, we send it back so that they can exercise their total discretion unaffected by errors.
Yes, Your Honor. I understand you. I believe I understand the question. But again, that boils down to a situation where there is a legal error. And so like in reopening as a matter of discretion, this court makes that.
Yeah, I think we understand each other. The question is, which do we buy?
Thank you, Your Honor.
I think you got the edge on that one, but okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Grotas. You've got 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, opposing counsel. I just want to point to the court. Page 812 in the administrative record is the arrest report with the date in question, so that if there was any error on my part or
it shows March 15th.
It says that the arrest occurred on March 18th, 2015, which is the same, surprisingly, to the day 10 years later, BIA issued that decision.
That's the government's point. It's within the 10-year period.
I obviously, as an officer of the court, I wanted to advise the court of that information and point to exactly where that document is within the record.
So did you hear you heard, obviously, the series of questions, but so there are two independent bases. One relating to eligibility, and that is, as the government at least argues, is where the good moral character analysis comes into play. And the second is just the AG's discretion to grant or deny relief. Is that correct in your view?
Your Honor, I think they have discretion, but as we laid out in the briefs and as I laid out previously in the oral arguments, they have to follow the presidential decisions which they previously stated, that as this court has sort of has affirmed time and time again in prior decisions, that they won't wade into a case of this kind unless
there's a constitutional or a legal error.
It's got to be a legal or constitutional question of law question.
Exactly.
But the question the government puts is, if in its total ultimate discretion it could consider some things which it did consider, which it could not consider in one part of an earlier decision, do we send it back so that when it makes this total one, it is free to consider or not consider something which we told them was error to consider in one of the parts of it? And that's an interesting question. I believe I thought I answered it, but we'd have to go back and read my case to make sure that we answered it as I thought we'd answered it. But that goes back then to the question of whether this was, for one of the parts, an error at all. And that's an interesting question of what does 10 years mean? Does that mean, you know, I don't know what 10 years, I know I'm in my 94th year, but I'm 93 years old, and I don't know, you know, what is the date?
I guess my question might be whether the passage of 10 years is, in essence, expunges the conviction.
Yeah.
In a broad sense, as opposed to just being a rule that's been adopted for consideration of eligibility for discretionary relief in the first instance.
Yeah. I don't. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that might be a question that's appropriate for additional briefing. Unfortunately, I don't have a cogent answer to present.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll reserve decision.